We're turning to the Word of God this evening, to Acts chapter 26. Could I just say, as you're looking up the place, it has been a great privilege for me to preach at this 10th anniversary mission. I'd like to thank the Reverend Salt and the session of the church here for the kind invitation that they have given to me and the privilege that they have given to me to come here and preach at this gospel campaign. And we do pray that the Lord will bless the sowing of His precious word. We do thank the Lord for those that have been saved. And certainly it has thrilled my heart, especially knowing that one of my daughters got saved in the mission. I'd ask you to pray for her. Pray for those that came to know the Lord, that the Lord will lead them on with Himself. You know, friend, you don't need to be a drunkard in order to need God's salvation. You know, some people have got this crazy notion that you need to be out in the world to need God's salvation. The past 17 years now, my daughter has never missed church, morning or evening, and she never missed a prayer meeting, for she came along with us to the prayer meeting of the church, and still does, and will continue to. And you know, we never had to force her, but she still needed to be saved. And the truth is this, that we can bring our children up, and must, child of God, bring our children up on the things of God and teach them the Word of God. But that's not enough. It's not enough. We need to see them born again of the Spirit of the Lord. And let us continue to pray for our children. And let us continue to pray for our loved ones. And I know that you've been praying for yours, and continue to do that. I know that this is a solemn night in the mission, the last night of a gospel campaign. But thank God, the Lord's day of grace is still here. And those who have heard the word in this mission, the seed has been sown in their heart. And who knows, maybe the next mission, the mission that you're going to have in McGabry, in a few months' time, maybe that's when the reaping will come for them. One sows and another reaps, but it's the Lord that gives the increase. And we should never give up on precious, precious souls. But as the Reverend Salt has said, and I agree with him, a gospel mission can be also the last opportunity for some. And I pray that if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that this will not be your last opportunity. I pray that you will seize this opportunity tonight as the Lord gives it to you, and reach out and find God's salvation. Now, this has been a 10th anniversary mission. This year is also a 10th anniversary for me, because this May I will be 10 years as the minister of our church in Enniskillen. And the Sunday after Easter, to mark that 10th anniversary, we're going to have a gospel mission in a place called Tempo. Now, some of you will know where Tempo is. I know that Albert Docherty, he'll know where Tempo is. Ballyray, to be more precise, it's between Enniskillen and Portadown. We're putting up a portable hall. And we'd ask you to pray for that mission. I'm preaching at that mission myself. Pray that the Lord will help us, and that the Lord will bring the local people in, and that the Lord will save them by His grace. Now we're going to read a few verses from this portion of Scripture. It's again another familiar portion of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of us. But if you're not saved, I want you to listen very, very carefully to the reading of God's Word. Now, we're not going, for the sake of time, we're not going to read the whole chapter. We have here Paul standing before King Agrippa, and he comes to defend himself against the false accusations that the Jews have made towards him. And he does that. But he also gives his testimony, and he also preaches. And we're going to cut in at verse 22. And here we have Paul, and he says this: "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Amen. We'll end our reading there. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach the gospel tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy presence in this house night by night. We thank thee, Lord, for the word of God, and we know, Lord, that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And O God, we thank thee for hearts touched and lives changed and souls spoken to. And O God, we just pray, Lord, that the seed that has been sown, that it might bring forth a bountiful harvest. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word shall not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Pray you bless this house, bless the Reverend Salt and his wife and family, bless the congregation here. We pray, O God, that they'll go on from strength to strength. And O God, that in the months that lie ahead, and the years that lie ahead, that they might see many precious souls won for the Lord Jesus. Add unto the church daily such as should be saved. O God, we thank thee that you will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Bless our congregation in Lisburn as well. For Lord, we know the association that that congregation has with this one. And O God, we pray that these two congregations would know in a very special way the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Bless your servants who labour in Lisburn. And O God, we pray for this mission, Lord, that they have planned, Lord, later on this year in McGabry. We ask thee, Lord, as that old tent goes up, that your servants would know the power of God. And Lord, that many, many would be the slain of the Lord in that mission. Come, Lord, help us to be up and doing in these days. O God, we have only one life. It'll soon be past. And only what's done for Jesus will last. And Lord, you've told us in your word, he that winneth souls is wise. O God, make us wise and help us, Lord, to point men to Christ. Lord, bless us now, we pray thee. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit and anoint us with power. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. As we come to the close of the gospel mission, I want to draw your attention to a character in the Bible by the name of King Agrippa. King Agrippa, for the benefit of those who would not be familiar with him, he was the ruler of Galilee. And of course, it goes without saying that he was an ungodly individual. You know, the fact that Agrippa was a very ungodly man is a fact that sometimes is missed and overlooked. Sometimes Agrippa is reported as if he was not just as bad as some of the other characters that we read about in this passage of Scripture. But you know, the truth is this, that Agrippa was just as ungodly as Festus. And he was just as ungodly as Bernice. And he was just as ungodly as all the others that heard Paul preach in Acts chapter 26. And yet, the Apostle Paul was glad when he heard that Agrippa was going to hear his case. You see, Paul had been accused falsely by the Jewish authorities. But when he heard that he was going to defend himself before King Agrippa, Paul knew that although Agrippa was an ungodly man, that he would get a fair hearing. Look what Paul says in verse 2 of chapter 26. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee. And you know, as you study this passage of Scripture, you can see clearly that the Apostle Paul gave a good account of himself that day before the king. And there is no doubt that Agrippa listened very well. However, Paul did something else that day. Not only did he testify before the king and give a good account of himself, but you know, on that occasion, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to King Agrippa. And you know, that's the wonderful truth about the Apostle Paul. No matter who he stood before, no matter where he went, no matter who he came into contact with, he always pointed them to Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And it was no different in this occasion. Although he's standing before a king, although he's standing before people of royalty, the Apostle Paul is faithful to Christ, and he's faithful in proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. And again, on this occasion, he presents the gospel to not only to King Agrippa, but also to all that were gathered on that occasion. Now, as we are centering our thoughts on the king here, King Agrippa, at the close of this meeting tonight and at the close of this gospel mission, I want you to notice Agrippa's response to the preaching of the Apostle Paul. There's no doubt that Paul presented the truth to Agrippa. And I want you to see how Agrippa responded to that truth. Because, my friend, in this gospel mission, as the word of God has gone forth night by night, people have responded. Now, some people, thank the Lord, have responded positively, and they have come to Christ, and they have repented of their sin, and they have went on their way rejoicing. Others, sadly to say, have ignored the truth. And they have went away rejecting the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior. And you know, the bottom line is this. At the end of this meeting, whoever you are, if you're not saved, whoever you are, you're going to make a conscious decision concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to either reject the gospel or you're going to receive the gospel. You're either going to reject Christ or you're either going to respond positively to the call of God and find and seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And certainly it is our desire this evening, whoever you are, that as the gospel goes forth, that your heart will be opened, and that at the end of this meeting, and even before the end of this meeting, that you will call upon the Lord and seek the Lord and find the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. But what about this man Agrippa? Now, I want you to listen very carefully here, because there's three things I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice this, that Agrippa believed the truth, but he was not saved. Take a look at what it says in verse 27, and look at the words very, very carefully. And you read this. Here's what Paul says. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Then underline these words. I know that thou believest. There is no doubt that Agrippa had a great knowledge of God's truth. And not only did he have a great knowledge of God's truth, but he believed what he had heard. Now, we have already pointed out that the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to this man. There's no doubt about that. Paul presented King Agrippa with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Paul uplifted the person and work of the Son of God. And as King Agrippa heard the message of the gospel, as he listened to the preaching of the apostle, he believed. He believed what the Old Testament prophets had said. You see, the prophets that Paul is referring to here, of course, is the Old Testament prophets. Men like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and Obadiah and many others. And of course, it was these Old Testament prophets that had prophesied the coming of the Messiah into the world. And they had prophesied the coming of the Savior. And here we have the Apostle Paul preaching. And of course, he's preaching what the prophets had said. And as he explains to Agrippa what the prophets had said, and as he preaches the truth, Agrippa believes. Believest thou the prophets, Paul said to Agrippa. I know that thou believest. So here was a man, and he believed the truth concerning Christ. He believed the truth concerning the Messiah. He believed what the prophets in the Old Testament had declared concerning the Son of God. But he was not saved. My friend, it's very important that you learn that tonight, that you see that from God's precious, precious word. You see, the truth is this, that King Agrippa had a head knowledge. He had a head knowledge. He believed in his head that the prophets were preaching the truth. He believed in his head, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. He believed in his head everything that Paul told him and what the prophets had declared concerning the Son of God. But he did not believe it in his heart. Now we preach this week about having a heart knowledge. And my friend, the truth is this, that you can come to church and you can be religious and you can live a good, upright, moral life and you can accept what the Bible says in your head. You can believe that the Bible is the Word of God. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell. You can believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. You can believe all these things in your head and still not be saved. Because the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And here we have an individual, King Agrippa. He's an ungodly man, and yet he believes the truth. But he was not born again of the Spirit of God, and he was not saved by the grace of God. And you know, maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're like that. Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian church. In other words, a church, an evangelical church where the gospel goes forth. Maybe you have even sat under the sound of free Presbyterian ministers. And you've heard the message of the gospel all the days of your life. And if I was to go down to you tonight, and if I was to say to you, do you believe the Bible? You would say yes. If I was to say to you, do you believe the prophets and what they declared in the Old Testament? You would say yes. If I was to say to you, do you believe the doctrines that are contained in this book, that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? You would say yes. And yet within your heart tonight, within your soul this evening, although you believe the truth, like Agrippa, you're still not saved. Because you see, friend, the truth is this, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? You know, Agrippa said in verse 20, yet almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person who is saved. A Christian is a person who is regenerated. A Christian is a person who has turned from their sin and been born again of the Spirit of God. You know, there's a wonderful definition of what a Christian is in this chapter. Take a look with me there at verse 18. Look what it says. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was Paul's duty, to go forth and preach the gospel and to see men saved. But as Paul gives his testimony here, he gives a wonderful definition of what a Christian is. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who has had their eyes opened. A Christian is one who has turned from darkness to light. A Christian is one who has turned from the power of Satan unto God. A Christian is one who has had their sins forgiven. A Christian is one who has received an inheritance in the kingdom of God. A Christian is one who has had their life changed by the power of God. A Christian is one who knows 100% that they'll never be in hell, that they're going to heaven, and that someday they're going to see Christ in all his glory. My friend, head knowledge can't give you that. Head knowledge can't give you that. No matter how much knowledge you get of the Bible, no matter how much truth you understand of the Bible, head knowledge can never give you an assurance of sins forgiven and that you're saved by the grace of God. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can give you that when you're born from above and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Are you saved tonight? That's the most important question that anyone will ever ask you. What a privilege the preacher has, you know. He has the greatest responsibility in the world. But he has the greatest privilege. You know why? Because the preacher has the greatest message in the world. The message that Christ died and rose again. And my friend, that's the only message that can do poor sinners good. But here's the greatest question you'll ever be asked. Are you saved and born again of the Spirit of God tonight? What have you done with the truth that God has given to you? What have you done with the truth that you have heard? Well, here's what Agrippa does with it. He believes it, but he's not saved. But notice something else here. I want you to take a look, secondly, that Agrippa almost received the truth, but he stopped short. Look what it says in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, after he heard the truth preached, after he heard about Christ, after Paul preached to him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What did King Agrippa, or why did King Agrippa only almost become a Christian? You know, that's a very, very good question, isn't it? If he believed the truth and believed what the prophets were declaring, why did he not step right out for Christ? Why did he not altogether become a Christian? Why did he stop short? Well, I believe when you study this passage of Scripture here, there was a number of reasons why King Agrippa almost became a Christian and why he didn't altogether become a Christian. It was because, first of all, because he wasn't prepared to give up his sin. He wanted to hold on to sin. He loved his friends and pleasures more than he loved his soul. He was afraid of being laughed at. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that he was afraid of what Festus would say to him. Because, as we're going to find out just in a moment, Festus here, he had no time for the gospel. And indeed, he thought that Paul was mad. He said to Paul, such learning doth make thee mad, Paul. He thought that Paul was a madman. Now, Agrippa didn't think that Paul was a madman. We've already noted that. He believed what Paul was saying. But you know, there were influences here. There were reasons here why King Agrippa did not step out for Christ and did not altogether become a Christian. Why he was only almost persuaded. My friend, the truth tonight is, as you sit in this gospel meeting, and as you have sat in many other gospel meetings, there are reasons why you're not saved. There are reasons. What are those reasons tonight? I wonder, in your soul this evening, would you be honest? Why are you not a Christian? Especially those of you who say that you believe the Word of God and that you believe the Bible and that you know and believe in your head that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Why are you not a Christian tonight? Why are you not saved? Why has your life not been transformed? Why have you not turned from darkness to light? Why have you not sought the Lord and found eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus? Is it because you want to hold on to your sin? You know, the Bible says that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. They'll last for a few years, perhaps, but then they'll come to an end. Is that the reason you're not saved tonight? Because you want to hold on to your sin? You say to me, preacher, if I became a Christian tonight, I couldn't go to the pub tomorrow night, and I couldn't go to the dance at the weekend, and I couldn't go out with the boys or the girls at the weekend, and I couldn't go and enjoy myself. So you're willing to sell your soul for a pint of booze. You're willing to sell your soul for some earthly pleasure that's going to come to an end anyway. Maybe you say to me, preacher, I'm not a Christian tonight because you don't know what my family would say if I got saved tonight. You don't know what my workmates would say if I went on Monday morning and told them that I had become a Christian. Is that the reason you're not saved? You're afraid of man? You know, the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Maybe you're afraid of them laughing. Maybe there's another reason. Maybe you say to me, preacher, I don't fully understand how to be saved. Well, friend, if that's your only problem, I'll tell you what to do. You wait behind in the meeting tonight and come and have a talk with the Reverend Salt, and he'll soon explain it to you. Very, very simply, how you can be saved and how you can know it. Maybe you have a different problem. Maybe there's a different reason why you're not a Christian. Oh, here we have an individual, and he knew that he needed to be saved. He knew that he wasn't a Christian. He knew that what Paul was saying was true. But he doesn't come to Christ. He stops short. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this scene of time, spoke to a young man who had a great interest in eternal life, the rich young ruler. And on that occasion, the rich young ruler went up to Christ and, running to the Saviour, fell down before him. And he said to the Saviour, What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus told him what he had to do. Get rid of his sin. Turn from his sin. You see, the Lord said to him, well, I'll tell you what to do. Go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. Now, why did the Lord tell him to do that? Is there anything wrong with having riches? No, there's nothing wrong with having riches. Abraham was one of the wealthiest men that ever lived upon this earth, and he was a Christian. Well, why did the Lord Jesus point out this particular thing in this young man's life? Why did he tell him to go and sell all that he had, give to the poor, and come and follow him? Because the Lord Jesus knew that he loved his riches more than he loved anything else. His riches was the problem. His riches was the sin in his life. And that's why the Lord pointed that out. In other words, what Christ was saying to the rich young ruler was this: get rid of your sin, turn from your sin, come and follow me, accept me as the Savior. Then you can have eternal life. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he had great possessions, and he went away sorrowfully. He loved his sin of riches and his sin of wealth more than anything else. Oh, my friend, what is it that's stopping you coming from the Savior tonight in this gospel mission, as you've come in and listened to the gospel night by night, and you're in again this evening? The Lord is speaking to your heart, and deep down in your soul, you're almost a Christian. Deep down in your heart, you know you need to be saved. What's keeping you back? What's holding you back? What's preventing you from coming and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? Is it your fear of friends and what they will say? Is it because you want to hold on to sin? Is it because there's something else in your life that you cannot give up? Oh, praise God tonight. Whatever sin that you're unable to give up, the Lord is able not only to forgive you for all your sins, but he's able to deliver you. And he's able to set you free. Thank God for that. And he's able to do it tonight, because he is all powerful. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his death upon the cross, and because of his resurrection, and because he lives, thank God, he can and will give you eternal life and cleanse you from every sin. And as far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove your transgressions from you. Agrippa believed the truth, but he was not saved. And Agrippa almost received the truth, but he stopped short. And then I want you to notice something else. Agrippa resisted the truth, and he was damned forever. You know, when you study this passage of Scripture, and I know that God's people know this passage of Scripture as well as I know it. But for the benefit of those who are not saved, you just don't know this passage perhaps as well as those who are saved. When you study this passage of Scripture, we haven't the time to read it all tonight. You should read it when you go home. You'll notice that every one of those named in this chapter, after hearing the message of the gospel preached by the Apostle Paul, rejected the truth that day. In other words, Festus rejected the truth that day. Bernice rejected the truth that day. And Agrippa
rejected the truth that day. But I wonder, child of God, and you're the ones that know it so well, when you study this passage of Scripture, did you ever notice that they all rejected the truth differently? You said to me, but preacher, there's only one way to reject the truth. You reject it. Oh no, friend. There's different ways that you can reject the truth. Now, at the end of the day, the consequences are still the same. Hell forever. But you'll notice that Festus and Bernice and Agrippa, they all rejected the truth differently. For example, if you take a look there at verse 22, you will see that Festus vehemently rejected the truth. In other words, he didn't even believe anything that Paul was saying. Look at it. Look what it says there in that text of Scripture. No, verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, that was Paul preaching, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Now, there's a man who rejected the truth of the gospel. And he rejected the truth out of hand completely. He wouldn't accept anything that Paul was saying, that it was true. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He didn't believe that there was a heaven and a hell. He didn't believe what the prophets had said. He thought Paul was mad in what he was declaring. And he vehemently rejected the preaching of the gospel. And you know, friend, the truth is this. There are men and women in Ireland and across this province of Ulster. And when you go to speak to them about the things of God, maybe you're one of them here tonight, you just dismiss the gospel there and then. You'll have nothing to do with it. You think it's complete rubbish. The preacher's mad. And you vehemently reject the truth. Now, take a look there at how Bernice rejected the truth. Because you'll notice that Bernice, she didn't vehemently reject the truth. She quietly ignored the truth. Now, Bernice is mentioned twice in these chapters. And never once does she speak a word. Now, just take a look, first of all, at chapter 25. And look at verse 23 there. And you'll read these words. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice. See how her name is just mentioned there. That's all that the Holy Ghost does. He just mentions her name. And Bernice. Now take a look at chapter 26. And take a look at verse 30. And you'll see her name mentioned again. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice. And they that sat with them. You notice how Bernice's name is mentioned there? She never speaks a word. She never says, Paul, you're mad. She never says, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. She says nothing. But she rejects the truth. And my friend, let me say, there are men and women, and they come and sit in gospel meetings. And maybe you're here tonight, and you're one of them. And you listen to the truth. And you hear the word of God. You never speak a word. You never say anything. You just slip out. You slip out without saying a word. And even when you get out there, you don't say anything to anyone. But you never receive the gospel and you never receive Christ and you never see it. What do? You quietly ignore the truth. Just ignore it. You just hope it's going to go away. And then, of course, we have Agrippa. He didn't vehemently reject the truth. He didn't even quietly ignore the truth. He willfully resisted the truth. Willfully resisted the truth. Look at verse 28. Then Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The Lord was working in his heart. Of that there is no doubt. He knew he had to be a Christian. He knew the right thing for him was to be saved and accept the gospel of Christ and accept the Lord Jesus as his own and personal Savior. And I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit was working in his heart and working in his soul. But he willfully resisted what he knew was right. And maybe that's you tonight.
Deep down in your heart, my friend, you know you need to be saved. Deep down in your heart, you know what the right thing for you to do. And you fight against it. You willfully fight against it. You know what the Bible says, my friend? The Bible says, indeed, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There comes a time, we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of men that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. And the solemn truth of the Scriptures is this, that if you keep on rejecting God's word and saying no to God's free offer of salvation, and willfully resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life, the day will come, the time will come, when God will take you at His word, and He'll depart from you, and you'll commit the unpardonable sin, and you'll be as sure of hell as if you were already there. I believe that Agrippa sealed his destiny for eternity that day in Acts 26, when he willfully rejected the truth. He lived for years after this.